Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Awakening. I'm your host, Heather.
And I'm your co-host, Tamara, aka Jezebel. Welcome in, and thank you all for listening to us tonight.
Our guest this week is someone whose very existence literally rewrote the rules of what Christian music is allowed to look like. Flamy Grant is a shame-slaying, hip-swaying, singing-songwriting drag queen from Western North Carolina. And in 2023, she became the first drag performer to top the iTunes Christian charts with her debut record, Bible Belt Baby. Today, Flamy joins us to talk about faith, drag, deconstruction, and what it means to build a church of your own making, glitter, blistering vocals, and all. Welcome in, Flamy. We're so excited to have you here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And I see your pronouns there are they, she, so we will be certain to use those during the show. I love that you have those beside your name because we love to honor those things.
Yeah, thank you.
So on The Awakening, we always talk about all things religious deconstruction. That's what we're all about over here. You know, so many of us were raised in these authoritarian religious environments. So would you like to tell us what your religious upbringing looked like in North Carolina?
Oh, do I have to relive it?
No, yeah, not if you don't want to.
No, that's just a joke. I talk about it all the time. I write whole albums
write
of music
about
it, you know?
Yes.
I was raised in Western North Carolina, in Asheville, which, you know, if people know anything about Asheville, they probably know it as a pretty, like, it's a cool little
yes.
artsy
mm-hmm.
mecca,
is.
You know, in North Carolina. And it's kind of a blue dot in a what has been a reddish state for a while. We're slowly, hopefully, changing that.
Yes.
But the thing is, you can grow up anywhere, and if you're in a cult, you're in the cult. You know, it doesn't really matter
yes.
where you are.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah, I was raised evangelical Christian, but more specifically, the denomination is called Plymouth Brethren, and it's a doozy. It's one of the it's really small. There's not a ton of Plymouth Brethren congregations out there, but I mean, the key facets are that it's very patriarchal. Women
yeah.
cover their hair. They're not allowed to speak during the services. It is very decentralized. It's kind of like a Quaker meeting in that, like, there's no pastor, there's no leadership, no one gets paid, there's no staff.
Yeah.
It's just you come together and the men, like, if you are a man, you are allowed to, like, lead
yeah.
the service. So they kind of take turns. You know, calling out a hymn or saying
yeah.
a prayer or reading a scripture or whatever. And I think those are probably like the things that would like
yeah.
be a little different from most evangelical spaces. But other than that, it was, you know, I was raised on like James Dobson, Focus on the Family.
Oh,
stuff.
Yes.
I was raised to not.
We have actually been talking about Dobson on our show the past several weeks because of all the harm that his teaching caused so many
yeah.
generations of kids, you know, because we talk about how a lot of the kids are no contact with their parents now
yeah.
because we
yeah.
were horrifically abused and James Dobson gave our parents full on permission to do that, right? Like,
yeah, more than permission.
Wild.
He explained how to do it.
Yes.
You know?
And
yeah.
he laid
yeah.
out the weapons. I don't even call them instruments. I call them weapons because that's what they were, you know, and it's
yeah.
just insane when you go back and look at these things that were fundamental teachings that our parents were listening to and being like, oh yeah, this is how I want to raise my kids, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, the thing about James Dobson is that he went across denominations. It didn't matter
yeah.
if you were like, I was raised in an apostolic Pentecostal cult, if you
mm-hmm.
were non-denominational, if
yeah.
you were Baptist, if you were actually whatever Focus on the Family actually is, as far as a denomination, he was what everyone used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To
because I was
discipline and
yeah.
to do things.
And I was raised Church of God. So, you know, we
yeah.
had all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. But I mean, we had somebody else on that say, you know, basically all these institutions, so many of them have the same issues, right? Because
mm-hmm.
patriarchy is in so many of them. And it plays out the same, whether it's a Baptist church or, you know, it doesn't matter. And
mm-hmm.
That's why I like having these conversations, though, because we again are continuing to expose the harm for what it is. And talking about these systems is how we break them down. It's how we fight back against them. It's how we take our power back, how we take our voice back. So, did you end up being part of ministry then? Because I know you're a musician and you're a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I did. Interestingly enough, never really within my own denomination that I was raised in. I, for whatever reason, I just, despite the fact that I'm obviously a performer and obviously someone who, enjoys the spotlight to a
Yes.
degree, like I never once in my entire childhood or, teenage years or at all until I left that church, basically when I went to college, I never spoke up. I never used my privilege, if you will,
Yeah.
as a person who was being raised male and perceived as male in that world. Like I never
Yeah.
spoke up there. And I've always wondered about that. And like, what was it that kept me from participating? I'm sure there's some deep psychological thing that I should probably unpack with a therapist, but I did get into like ministry, specifically worship leading. Like I was, a
Yeah.
church musician, kind of starting in high school, 'cause I also went to a Christian school and we had, weekly chapels that are as part of
Yeah.
our curriculum. So I would lead the music at those. But then in college was when I really got into like, oh, like there's a whole world where you can just
Yeah.
like be a church musician. And
Yeah.
that's what I did for like 22 years.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, not as like my main job. It was
Yeah.
always kind of a volunteer position, except
Yeah.
for like I did have 1 2-year stint where I was on staff at a mega church in Reno, Nevada, which that was interesting. But yeah, I was, I joined like church planting teams. I moved to San Diego. I lived in San Diego for about 17 years, and the reason I moved there was to plant a church. And
Oh, how
so yeah,
interesting.
I did a
Yeah.
lot of
But you're
ministry
back
over the
in North
years.
Carolina now. Are you back in North
I
Carolina?
am. Yeah.
Okay,
Three
okay.
3 years ago, moved back.
Well, that's incredible because I miss that place. Like, you wouldn't believe the mountains. They're just so beautiful there. But so,
It
what
really
led
is
you
lovely.
from, leading worship and playing music to deconstructing your faith?
Well, honestly, the fact that I'm queer, like
Yeah.
there's, I think I've said this before. I think that, I mean, I thank the heavens, I thank the divine, whatever. I thank the universe that I'm gay, because I think if I weren't, I would have very easily been able to step into the same kind of roles that like I had a
Yes.
papa who was just kind of the pillar of our little spiritual community, and he was such a driving force behind our church and just everything that we did. And he was, well, whatever. We don't need to talk about in too much detail about
Yeah.
Papa, but he was just like that person who
Yeah.
really believed and followed the letter of the law and all of that, but also was just like a product of the system of patriarchal religion. And I could just easily see myself having followed in his footsteps
Oh,
if it
yeah.
weren't for the fact that I had this thing in me that I had to reckon with. And I delayed it as long as I could. I ignored it. I ran from my queerness. I was afraid of it. I tried to beat it out of myself, like literally in some cases, and I self-enrolled in conversion therapy for 5 years
Oh,
and
wow.
tried to be straight. And
Yeah.
even after that period of time when that was clearly not working, I committed. I was like, well, I guess I'm gay, but I'm gonna be single and celibate, and I'm gonna be like very open and public about that so that I don't lose my spot in the
Yeah.
church, like as being
Yeah,
able to lead
because they'll
worship.
accept
And
you if you're gay, just as long as you're not acting on it, is what they say. Yes.
can't
Yep.
follow the lifestyle.
Yes.
So
It's so
I would
messed
talk
up.
about how, like, when I would talk about it, I would say I struggle with same-sex attraction. I wouldn't say I'm gay, 'cause
Yeah.
that was too much to say at
You're
that time.
owning it
So
if you say that, you're wearing that demonic, as they would call it, label or whatever, which is when I talk about these things, it's so silly to me to say these words and speak this language now because it's so foreign to me. I'm so far removed from it. It's like I used to talk like that, and I can't believe that I used to talk like that, right? Because it's
Same.
so ridiculous to say, I'm willing to love you, but only like 75% of you, or not even 75%, you know, because we were
As long
taught
as you
that,
don't bring that
yeah, don't bring that up, don't talk about it, you know, don't ever dare say you think somebody's cute or something like that, you know. It's like you have to act like you're not even human, and that's not fair, you know. When I think about justice and what that actually looks like, I think of equality for all people, not just people that believe like I do or live like I do. You know, that's not fair. And I would think that, you know, out of all the places that you should be able to find that, the House of God should be one of them. It should be the place where queer people should be able to run to find safety from the people that would want to harm them. And that's how I ended up finding you, was because of your music. Because your music has been so powerful to help people that are deconstructing, to help give them hope, to know that they are still seen and they're loved and they're affirmed, and God loves them as they are in the fullness of their queer identity, or, you know, their trans identity, whatever that may be, however they identify, you are loved at the core of your person. And I think that is such a powerful message, especially right now. You know, we have so much hate and negativity in the world, and you are just such a positive force for so many people.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's really sweet. Yeah, I mean that's what drives me. You know, I think just having had the experiences I did and knowing what it's like to not have any and no, nobody modeling what my potential future could look like in a healthy, happy way, right? The only
Yes.
messaging that you get is or that I got as a kid who was, you know, super isolated and super cut off from the world, you know, as they love to call it, be in, not of the world kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that I didn't know there were other queer people. I didn't know what queerness was. I didn't know what the
Right.
thing that, you
Yes.
know, afflicted me
Yeah.
was. I
Yeah.
just knew I was different. I knew something was wrong, and I knew that anytime I got close to naming it or talking about it or whatever, like, it was like the outcome was not good, right?
Oh,
Like
yeah.
people would
And if it was like
there.
me, you know, I grew up, I have my mother's side of the family has six girls in it. And my aunties, two of them were gay, and one of them was bi. And I remember when I would ask about my mother's sisters and stuff, it was, we don't talk about them. They're going to hell and they're of the devil. And so as a little girl, that's always what I thought. And we never associated with them. And then when funerals would happen or something, and we would go to funerals, I would be, you know, chastised. Do not speak to her. Do not go over there. And I just remember being scared to death of whoever or whatever they were. I had no idea, but I knew it was wrong. And looking back now, I realize how awful that was because I carried that rhetoric as a young teenager into young adulthood. You know, I didn't even know anything about them. I didn't know who or what they were. I just knew they were going to hell. And that's all that mattered. And then when it dawned on me after I left and looked back, I was like, oh, for the love of God, these were wonderful people.
Yes, and
What
that's, yes,
happened?
that's literally what broke my, you know, idea of queer people, because I was taught from a young age that they're evil, they're going to hell, they're hurting children, all the things, you know, we hear all the things. And but I never knew any queer people, never met one in my life. And then I always, like back then, I felt like God kept bringing queer people into my life. He on purpose, like, and I know that. And it was like somebody I had sat in the church with, you know, like I had seen this young man. We had been part of the church. I loved him. I loved his family. And it's like, wait a minute, he's not a groomer. He's a really good person. And like, a loving, compassionate person. And then I just started meeting more and more of these people. And then I met the woman that was struggling with her identity in the church. And I saw firsthand the way that she was treated by people in leadership. And that was it. Like, I had to find more answers because I knew I had to love her, not listen to what they were saying, but love her as she was, where she was at, in her struggles. And I was so happy that I got to perform her wedding ceremony when she married a woman.
Oh, that's so great.
So,
and
you know,
the other thing is, too, is that I found is that when I look back now, the people that I was taught to hate and despise were those people who loved me with open arms.
Yes.
And the individuals that were harmful were the men that were sitting inside the church claiming, you know, that they were going to heaven and that they loved God. So as a 27-year-old girl, when I first left, you know, the cult or whatever you want to say, that was like a shell shock to me. It was like,
Yes.
Oh my goodness, the people that I was raised with were the evil ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
Not the rest
literally.
of the world.
Yep. And like, even as I was deconstructing, the LGBTQIA plus community was the community that was there for me to support me, to work with. You know, I have a friend that's literally a Satanist, and she kept pointing me back towards my beliefs, like not trying to drag me away towards what it is that they believe. But this is, you know, keep on the path that you're on, you know? And I was just like, I never had that kind of support when I was in religious spaces ever in my life. So
oh,
I was
sure.
so blown away because I didn't know what that was supposed to look like. And when it showed up, I was like, wait a minute, the church is so flawed.
And every chance I get when I encounter and I have friends, I can honestly look at them and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for the way I was raised. I'm so sorry that I wasn't taught in a Christian environment to love you and to open arms and to appreciate you. So I extend that to you as well, you know, just to make sure that you know that it helps me undo what I was taught each time I'm able to stand and say, I'm an ally and I'm so sorry how I was raised. But when I knew better, I did better. And I'm so thankful for individuals like you that have come into my life and been able to change indoctrination at the core of my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about your music,
Beautiful.
Flamie. I want to hear about your music. What are you working on a project right now? Are you working on anything now?
I am. We just recorded my third full-length record in May.
Oh, wow.
And here in Asheville, and so we're really kind of just starting the post-production stuff because we recorded it in May and then it was immediately Pride Month.
Yeah.
And I've basically been on tour ever since then. I literally just got back home
yes.
last night.
Yeah, because I follow you online, you know, when you're going to your different events and stuff. I'm like a social media stalker. I love to support the people that I
Frippy.
Love to support.
Yeah.
That's all.
that means everything. It really does. Especially for those of us who hate social media.
Yes.
I do. I'm so like, if I could ditch it today, I would. I hate it so much, but it's just such a facet and a feature of how artists, you know, do our work in 2026. So I appreciate people who, you know, like it and know how to use it and know how to support people on it. So thank you for that. We're getting into the post-production stuff. And I mean, I had hoped that the record would be out this fall, but it's not going to be. it's definitely going to be later than that. And I think I'm probably just going to go ahead and push it into the spring of next year just to really make sure we have enough time to do everything we need to do.
Well, it does take time to get everything tweaked and edited and just the way you want it to be, you know? I mean,
exactly,
it's important
yeah.
when you're releasing it because it's going to be out there forever. So you want it to be what you want it to be, you know?
You want it to be right. And then you want it to get in front of the right people and you want to give it its best shot to get on radio and all of that. So I think it's going to be a great record. I'm really, really pleased with how everything came out in the studio. It's very, for anybody who's listened to my music so far, like this one, we take a really hard left turn back into kind of the Appalachian string band mountain
music.
There's definitely some bluegrass influences in there, and so it's a little different from what I've done, which is to date has been a little more, I think, pop country, folk country accessible. And this is like, no, I want the mandolin and I want the banjo.
Yes.
Like,
but
and
there's
the fiddle,
something
and bring them
about
all in.
them, though, that just is kind of, it's native to the area. Like it is such a North Carolina thing to have the bluegrass and the banjos and stuff. So I love that. I absolutely do. And I think you'll have an opportunity to probably draw in more people with that too, you know, that might not have heard your music before. That'd be so cool.
Yeah.
So what's your most favorite song that you have out now?
Oh wow, interesting question. I know, like, my favorite one from each record, I guess. Well, no, I'll say this. I think my favorite one right now is a song called Magna Mater that it's a single. It's not on a record, but we released it as a single last year, I think in the fall. And it was actually kind of the first time I was experimenting more with an Appalachian sound, and that's because the song is about it's about an ancient Phrygian goddess named Cybele, who I had never heard of before, but I stumbled across like on the internet one day because I was trying to find a rhyme for water. There's a line in the song that says, you know, it says hell or high water, and so I was just literally Googling like what rhymes with water, because, you know,
that's what we do.
Songwriters, sometimes we just need that. We just need rhymezone.com to help us out a little bit. So
I'll do the same thing with writing. I just, when I'm looking for a word that's different, but not the same.
Powerthesaurus.com. Yes. That's a good one. So anyway, it just took me to that Latin phrase, magna mater. And I was like, what's that? So I clicked on that and started doing a whole bunch of research. And it's a phrase that means great mother. And
Is this the story behind the picture of you with the belly, the beauty?
Yeah.
I love this. I'm glad that you're telling this, because I was going to ask you about that.
Oh, good. Yeah. It was all, which, you know, so much of my life has felt this way. It felt kind of happenstantial, you know, circumstantial, happenstantial. And but because I stumbled across that phrase, it just led me down one of those rabbit holes on the internet that you do sometimes. And like, I came up for air 3 hours later after spending all this time watching these like deep cut YouTube videos about this goddess, whose name is Cybele. And she was the nature goddess, the goddess of fertility. She was always flanked by two lions or tigers, and she had some really like fascinating stories in her lore, including what I a story that I kind of read as like a trans love story. It was kind of violent, but you know, it's the ancient world. It's a violent world sometimes. So, but anyway, I was just kind of like fascinated with her. And so when I finally got back to writing the song, it became about her. And, but you know, I already had kind of the little, like, I don't know, bluegrassy riff I was working with.
Yeah.
And so I decided I would transplant her from ancient Phrygia, which I think is Turkey now. I think that's where that is geographically. But I would transplant her from there and just put her in the South, in the modern day American South.
And so
she's kind of, yeah. And not even just Appalachia, but she's in Florida. She's like all over the Southeast in the song. And so it was just really fun to kind of play with this, you know, metaphorical goddess like thing, but in our own world, in our own time. And what would she be doing? What would she look like if she were, you know, from the American South? Anyway, I just love how that song came out.
I love that, though. That is so cool how you, you know, did the research on her, though, and were able to take it from there to turning it into a song. Like, and I will definitely put the picture in the show notes, because the cover art that is so beautiful.
That was the fun part when we got to actually, like, doing a photo shoot and doing a little bit of a, you know, it's not a typical music video, but we filmed some video for social media. And I was like, yeah, let's just go all in. You know, this is the great mother. Like,
What were the comments
I'm
like
gonna
on that? What were the
do.
comments, though? I know they had to have been atrocious because I know how
You
awful people
know,
are on the
I mean,
internet.
yeah, there were definitely some, I'm sure. I don't remember if it was. I don't feel like it was a. It got a lot of attention from the wrong side of the internet. I
Well,
think it
that's
was,
good. You got so
mostly
lucky.
good. Yeah, because I've had plenty of the wrong attention,
Yes,
but
yes.
I don't think this one crossed over too much. But no, it was just so fun to do like
Yes, it was.
pregnant goddess drag, you know?
It was. And it was absolutely beautiful. And when I was, getting ready to do stuff for the show, I saw that picture and I was like, I am going to have to ask them about that one because I need to know
Yeah.
the tea.
We filmed it down the street from where my mom lives in this little creek. It's just like a walking path.
I love
And
that.
yeah, it was so fun.
So, do you still have a good relationship with your parents and family since you started doing all this and came out and everything?
Well, that question has about as many answers as I have family members, you know.
Yes, yes.
It's just a different relationship with everybody.
Yeah.
So, my mom, like I have a great relationship with my mom. She's come a long way in terms of understanding who I am
Yeah.
and what I do. She's, you know, we still have some differences of, well, not even beliefs, because my thing is I just don't really believe
Yeah.
anything anymore, because belief isn't the point for me. Practice is, you know, spiritual practices. But she
Yes.
still believes what she believes, but at the end of the day, she prioritizes love
And that's
over
so
her
important.
beliefs. Yeah, and I think that's
Yes.
great. And then it just runs the spectrum with the rest of my family. My
Yes.
siblings, I'm very tight with my siblings. We are, you know, we when I'm home, they both live. My sister lives in town, and my brother lives just across the South Carolina state line. So we see each other when I'm home from tour, and when I'm not on, or when I am on tour, we are Marco Poloing constantly. You know,
Yeah.
we just so, yeah. And then I've got like lots of cousins and aunts and uncles all over
Yeah.
who, some I'm closer with than others, and some
And
I
that's
will probably never
typical
speak to
with just,
again.
yes. And that's kind of typical with any family, though. At some point, it's like, yeah, we're not going down the same roads or whatever. So if you knew somebody was, struggling with their identity, and in religious spaces, what would you say to them?
Well, it's such an important question, isn't it? And I do say things to people all the time because I encounter those folks all the time, and it's such a case by case basis, because some people aren't quite ready to hear the full, hey girl, let's get you out of this absolutely
Yes.
toxic space where you
Yes.
can start to recover your who you are and find yourself, and for the first time ask yourself the questions of who you are instead of who do people expect you to be. You know, like some people
Yes. Yes.
aren't quite there yet, and so that's a much gentler conversation.
Yeah.
Whereas other people are, you know, in the throes of it, or just, you know, ready to like jump ship, and they're like looking
Yes.
for where is the dry ground I'm going to land on? What
Yeah.
is the solid ground? Because we often don't know.
No.
I didn't know, you know, when
It's like the
I
rug's
was
pulled
to,
out from underneath you.
yeah,
You go from
right.
everything being prescribed for you, have an absolute certainty, knowing exactly how your world is supposed to work, to not
Yeah.
knowing anything, because the world out there is nothing like what you were taught it was, right?
Yeah.
And you feel like, it's almost like a movie where you're just putting into a different country, right?
Yeah.
Because you're having to relearn everything all over again. And I always say it's like, some of us are like in our 30s and 40s. And it's like we're in our teens all over again because we're getting to experience life for the first time in a way that we've never gotten to experience it before. And it's such a beautiful thing. But it's also important to find community while you're going through this. I really think that's so important because you can go off the rails if you don't have solid community, you know.
Yeah, well, and I think that's ultimately the main thing I would want to convey and get across to folks is that, like, there is a place for you,
Yes,
there is community, there are so
absolutely.
many folks who have traveled this road that you're on, and I know it feels like you're going to step out into thin air and not have anything to stand on, but it's a leap of faith, but in a different way than you've ever been told before. You know,
Yes.
like, you have to trust, maybe not in some unseen, sky daddy figure.
Yes.
You have to trust in yourself first and foremost,
Right.
that you have got yourself, and then you also have to trust that you will find that community again, when you leave one behind, because that's the
Yeah.
biggest, hardest part of it. You know, is like, all of the people who we have loved our whole lives and who we believe have loved
Yes.
us, and in many cases have loved us to the best of their capacity,
Yes.
but we're also, like, caught up in the delusion of the cult. Like, it's hard to acknowledge that, even the people with good intentions in those worlds, like, could
Can
still have
still
done
come.
damage to us.
Yes.
And so it's all of that, and it's really just like, I mean, that's part of why I love drag so much, is that it is a bold, brash look at me, like, it is like,
Yes.
drag is meant to pull focus, right? It is meant
Yes,
you're
it
meant to walk
is.
into the room, the spotlight come on you, and people are supposed to turn and
Yes.
look, and that's kind
And
of
it's
the
amazing.
magic of it, because it yeah that's the
Yes.
magic of it, because then you get to be the one who says, like, we're over here,
Yes.
like,
And we're not going anywhere, right? Like, we are not going anywhere. We have always been here. We're always going to continue to be here. It's not going, like, it's just going to keep growing, right? Like, at this point, because the more safe spaces that we provide, the more comfort that people have to come out and authentically be themselves. And I really don't think we would have so much hate as we do today if people were literally just allowed to be free to be themselves without being taught that who they are is a sin and is going to damn them to hell, right? Because honestly, it's that ideology that really damns people. Like, it's not, you know,
It's
people actually,
fear.
yes, it does. Because then you have people that, you know, end up sexually deviating in ways because they hide who they are and then they hurt people that they love and all this other stuff. And it's like, if they could have just been themselves, you wouldn't have had to worry about that. You wouldn't have had to worry about this person being in a marriage for 15 years and having a couple of kids and then them getting a divorce down the road because one of them is still gay. They've always been gay, right? But we see this happen time and time again. And then it's not just you're hurting one person, you have all this collateral damage when you do all that. So I think it's so much better when people are, you know, okay to know that, you know, you can be who you are. There are people out there that are going to love you and accept you. And it's hard and it can be lonely at times, but there is so many of us out here that are just waiting with open arms to accept you exactly as you are. You know, we don't have to judge you to love you. We just have to see you. We just have to see your humanity. And we all have that in us. So I love the things that you are doing. I love the work that you do, the music that you're creating. I love the fact that you show up the way that you do because you're right. Drag queens get noticed because they're so freaking amazing. Like the makeup skills alone are to die for, okay? I
I have
learned
to tell
everything I know
you,
from a drag queen.
I was going to
So,
tell you.
yeah.
I was like, whenever you go through my TikToks or social medias, right? It is like one drag queen after the other, because I sit there when they're putting on the makeup and stuff,
Yes.
and I'm like, so fascinating. I can't do that.
Listen, last year I went to Pride in Atlanta and shaved off my eyebrows so I could do a drag look for the first time. And
Amazing. That's
my friend in North Carolina, she's like, "You're not actually going to do that, are you?" I sent her a picture of me with no eyebrows. She's like, "Holy shit, you did it!"
That's commitment
I was
right
like,
there.
"Listen,
That's
you got to commit to the
commitment.
bit. If you're going to do a thing, do it."
I know plenty of drag artists who, still take
Yes.
the time to glue down their eyebrows every time, and I did it for like 6 months, maybe. And after 6 months, I was like, I'm exhausted of, and I'm tired of these Elmer's glue sticks. And I just started shaving my brows. And
my friend that does drag that lives in Atlanta, he just keeps them shaved all the time. And he's like, listen, there is no sense. If he wants to go out looking more normal, he'll put on those tattoo eyebrows or whatever. Yeah, but most of the time, he doesn't even bother. Like, it's like stupid.
Yeah. I've come to like recognize myself better now without the brows. And
But it's because it's who you are. Like, you know, it's like when you go to work in a factory, you're going to get the right kind of shoes. Well, when you're a drag queen, you're going to make sure your eyebrows are shaved off so you can paint them on the right way. Because it depends on how you look, on how you want to draw. Well, I just want to say thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to spend some time with us, you know, share your story with us, talk about your stuff that you have upcoming. I'm definitely going to leave all your links in the show notes for our guests because I want them to be able to find you and find your work because it's so incredible. And you empower just so many people to just be themselves and love themselves as they are. And we need more of that in the world, you know? So just thank you for being such a beautiful person and sharing you with us, you know, and sharing Flamie with us because we need more of that.
Thank you.
And you inspire, you know, even me being a straight female, right? When I listen to your music and I'm so like inspired and it's so like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it does something to me to know that people can be authentically themselves and I get to be a part of their journey. I get to like support them and cheer them on. And just, even if it's from the sidelines, right? Yeah. Know that there's groupies out here on your social media that are loving every minute of you.
And honestly, it just gives me hope that the tide is turning, right? That we can encourage people that you can be a person of faith and be fully out in who you are in your queer identity, whatever that is, you know? Or you can walk away completely and that's okay too. It's your journey. And, you know, spirituality is a very personal thing. We were all given the same prescription, but I promise you, if we go to the doctor, we're not all gonna take the same medications because they're not all gonna work for everybody. There's things that I'm gonna be allergic to. And honey, some of that Christian doctrine will downright make you sick. And that's the thing that making you sick, you need to get out of that environment because you can't heal in the same environment that's making you sick. You've got to remove yourself from the toxicity, even if that is your grandma's neighborhood church that you've been in your whole life, because those people could unknowingly be causing you harm, especially if they are telling you that they can only love you conditionally or only love parts of you unless you deny parts of yourself. And that's not fair to who you are.
Okay, so, Heather, you got a from them. That was pretty on point.
That'll preach. That'll preach. That's a whole. That's a whole last sermon right there.
I used to be a preacher, but we're not talking about that. We ain't talking about me. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, fabulous. Yeah.
Thank you so much for what you've done.
Thank you.
Who you are, the if I can say this, the testimony that you have within, you know, the community, and just know that we appreciate you so very much and admire you.
Thank you. It really is. That's what it is. It's a testimony. And, you know, we were taught that our testimony was so powerful. And they're powerful of our deconstruction, too. They are so much. And to me, I feel like they're so much more powerful on this side because we have that hope, joy, peace, and love that we didn't have in those other spaces. So thank you again for being here. And to our listeners, I just really appreciate you guys being here and hanging out with us again. Hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And as always, I will put all of Flamie's links in the show notes so you can find all of her work and listen to her music because it's so incredible and inspiring. Bye, everybody.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by the host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2026.